Let it be announced of God this morning. Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Thank you for being here. It's good to see some faces again. Good to see Brother Marvin, Miss Amanda back. Good to see Miss Neva back with us. Good to see you again. Thank you for coming. Glad to have a full church this morning. Y'all make me nervous. The devil's been fighting me on this message since I studied it and told me I wasn't supposed to preach this, and it's too simple for a Sunday morning, and it is simple. And the Lord keeps telling me this is the one he asked for me. And then Brother Dale gets up and teaches Sunday school and tries to teach my message and lets me know I'm in the right place. And that's no accident. If you didn't like his message, you might want to go ahead and head out the door, because it's going to be about the same thing this morning. And that's not by accident. So I didn't like it. You should probably listen. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing us back this way, and that's happened over and over again with me and him. And I don't know what he's teaching on. I know it's an Exodus, all I know, and you know that too. The Lord's doing something. You would be wise to pay attention and listen to what the Word of God has to say. I know I'm not a good preacher and well at expounding this thing, but listen to what the Word of God has to say. And Lord's trying to do something. Pay attention. John chapter 3. If you will stand, would you find your place there? John chapter number 3. Verse number 16, I know we read that Sunday night, but go ahead and start there. Verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You can be seated this morning. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all you've done for us here. Lord, thank you for us to be here this morning. Lord, I pray you guard my heart and my lips and my mind. Lord, I pray you help me say the things I need to say, and guard my lips from things I don't need to say. Lord, I pray you help us here this morning. Your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. The past few Sundays, we've been dealing with this Gospel of John. I feel like since the beginning of the year, the first Sunday I started that, and I feel like I've preached the same type of message over and over and over again. The reason for that is because I've preached the same type of message over and over and over again. I don't know why that is. The Lord keeps leading me back this direction, and if he leads me here, and that's what the Scripture says, I'm not going to try to preach what he doesn't want me to preach. So that, I don't know why he's doing that, but over and over again, you keep coming back to the same thing. When I was studying this, I feel like this was not enough for a Sunday morning. And I felt like these few verses here was not enough to really give to you. I'm not that smart, and I feel like I didn't have that much to bring to you. And so it's not going to be long enough, not going to be deep enough. And Lord reminded me it's not about me, and not about how long I am or how deep I am. It's about his word and what he has to say and what the Holy Spirit's working on your hearts already. And I believe he can handle it. So I'm going to preach what he told me to preach, and I'm going to do my best to do that. So this message this morning might not be all that long, but we'll see what we can get to. It's very simple. Tonight, if the Lord allows, we'll get back to go down to verse number 22 and carry on from there. But I believe the Lord has, I believe someone here in this congregation, a member, visitor, I don't know, but I believe there's somebody somewhere that needs to hear this morning. And I ask you this morning, I beg you this morning just to listen to the Word of God. Don't worry about me. Ignore me, the preacher. Listen to the Word of God. Ignore my mannerisms. Listen to the Word of God. And I believe the Lord might have something for you. I believe the Lord is working on somebody here. I don't know who it is. I really don't. I wish I did. That would help me out. But I believe a soul may hang in the balance this morning. I believe the Lord's trying to do something this morning, trying to wake you up this morning. Please listen to the Word of God. Lord, so I can preach. This is the ninth message here in the Gospel of John, and I title it very simply, Light versus Darkness. We've already looked at the rest of this chapter number 3 before, down to verse number 17 on last Sunday. Both services would cover chapter 3. We looked at verses 1 through 15 on Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation. We looked at the gospel preached from the mouth of Jesus. Now, how powerful the gospel is, coming from the very Son of God, the one who fulfilled the gospel, the one who made it possible. He's the one preaching it to Nicodemus there, the only begotten Son of God. We can see three must in the chapter number 3. Jesus says, ye must be born again. The must of the Savior, verse number 14, he must be lifted up. And later on, maybe tonight, we'll see in verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease, the must of the servant. We've hammered that first one home pretty good last week, as hard as I could. Ye must be born again, and that's still the truth today. It hasn't changed. When the Scripture was written a long time ago, it's still the truth there. It's still the truth today. It's not going to change. Ye must be born again. You will not go to heaven if you are not saved. You must be born again. Jesus himself says it right here to Nicodemus over and over again. It's not a question. It's a factual statement made by Jesus Christ when he's given the gospel to a religious man. You must be born again. Down through the verses, we saw him expound on that. We took Nicodemus and used the Bible. Jesus took the Old Testament and taught Nicodemus what he needed to understand. He used the history there with Moses and the serpent on the pole. And it's a typology of what Jesus has come to do. We looked at all those things. Then we got down to verse number 16 last Sunday night, probably one of the most profound yet simple verses of the Scripture we have. The gospel put into 25 words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We saw those 10 main words there in that verse that make all the difference. 10 being a number of completion. The redeeming work of Jesus Christ has been completed. It was completed because he so loved us. He gave his Son. The Son being a center word of that verse ought to be a center of our very lives. We see that whosoever, that means Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you have done, Jesus loves you. Now, some we teach kids in Sunday school, we try to skip over that in the main service. It's still a fact, just as much as the fact that Sunday school, Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world. Those that believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a verse. The greatest news of all time. God loves us enough to send his only Son to die for us. His love was greater than death, even the death of his own Son. He loved us more for me and you. This morning, I'm going to try to continue on, and this is going to be expounded on a little bit more here in these verses, 17 through 21. We see there is an alternative to believing, and it does come with consequences. I've got 3 points here, and then I'll be done. It's very simple. I'm looking at them here, starting at verse number 17. I wasn't feeling so well about this message, but I'm feeling a little bit better now. I believe this is where I'm supposed to be. Verse number one, we see why Jesus came. Verse 17, why did he come? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Here we have a very short verse, a very looked over verse. Normally looked at chapter number 3, and everybody, the giant stands out. Verse number 16, and that giant overshadows the other verse. There's a lot of verses in this chapter that are very profound, and just as profound as verse number 16. They get overshadowed. Verse 17 is a good one. Verse 19, many others. In verse 16, we saw the gospel packed down into one verse. And what is the main point of it? His love. And I already told you that again. For God so loved the world. Verse 17 is expounding on that love. Verse 17 is some of the best news everyone could ever receive. Because of sin, the only thing that any of us deserve is death. Now, and that's the fact from the Scriptures. We deserve, me and you, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and we all deserve judgment. We were born into sin, and that judgment came with sin. Brother Dale mentioned in Sunday school this morning, and that's a fact. That's what we deserve. That's where we are headed. That's what we deserve without him. If you think you deserve more than that, then your heart's not right, and you better get that settled first. You say, that's harsh, preacher. That's the cold, hard truth of it. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all wicked, no good, dirty, rotten sinners, and we deserve God to come back and pronounce judgment on us and condemn us and throw us in hell. That is what we deserve. That's what I deserve. You say, not me, preacher. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. That's what you deserve too. You better check your pride at the door, hang your halo on the coat rack. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. What does verse 17 say? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to bring judgment, although one day he will. He didn't come to pronounce wrath, although one day he will. He came to offer us a free pardon of sin. He came to make a way. He came to fulfill the law like we talked about last week. The entire purpose for Jesus coming was not for judgment, was not for wrath, although we deserve every bit of it. The entire point of his coming was to offer salvation to us and fulfill the law so we could do that, that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Last week, I divided the section of that chapter up into 4 different titles, verses 1 through 21. We saw the world's greatest tragedy in verses 1 through 10. We saw the world's greatest truths, verses 11 through 15. Last Sunday, we saw the world's greatest text in verse 16. This morning, the section last week, I called it the world's greatest test, verses 17 through 21. The test being either believing or unbelieving. Light versus darkness. Jesus came to the world. Why? That the world through him might be saved. Amen. Why does it say might be and not shall be? Because the entire world will not be saved, unfortunately. Not everybody that's born into the world will be saved. They won't all accept. If they were saved, what's the point of the Bible? What's the point of even being here? What's the point of having a church? What's the point of doing anything if the entire world is going to be saved no matter what? There is no point. If that was the case, he'd just take us on out of here. It says might be saved. That's because of what it tells us in verse number 16, as well as verses to come. It requires believing. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's a test. The world's greatest test. I called it before. Are you going to believe in the only begotten Son of God for salvation, or are you not? That's it. That's the most important and the most life-changing question of your entire life. Are you going to believe in God, or are you not? Yes or no? Why did Jesus come? So you have the opportunity to believe in him. He came to fulfill the law, offer himself a sacrifice, and to give us the opportunity to accept his free pardon of sin. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? God has every right to rain down fire from heaven and destroy every one of us. He has held that right for eternity. But first, because God so loved the world, he says, before I send judgment, and don't get it wrong, there will be a time of judgment, but before I send judgment, I'm going to send an opportunity for salvation. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for being long-suffering towards us. We don't deserve it, but thank God for it. So why did Jesus come? So that before he comes to condemn, I want to come to offer love. For me and for you. Why did he come? For God sent us into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Why did he come? Who Jesus condemns? Wait a minute. Did we say Jesus didn't come to condemn? That's a fact. He didn't come to condemn. What does the Bible say here in verse number 18? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So Jesus didn't come to condemn, but there are some that are condemned. Well, what is he talking about? What is this talking about here in this verse? Who does Jesus condemn? Why would he condemn some and not condemn others? It's very simple. I know I'm not being profound this morning. It tells us right here in this verse, right there to start at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Some more good news for us this morning. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and is not condemned. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. If you want to avoid condemnation, which, by the way, means to punish, it means to avenge, to conclude, to judge, to sentence. It means to be judged of death and eternity in the place called hell. But he that believeth is not condemned. That's simple, is it not? Very simple. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Can't get much simpler than that. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Have you trusted him by faith to wash away your sins and to give you a home in heaven? Have you repented of your sins? We talked about last week there with Nicodemus. That's what Jesus was showing him. That's what that means. You have to believe in Jesus as your only hope of getting into heaven. As the serpent up on the pole, their only hope of healing from the serpents. Believe that he's the only hope of heaven. It means you realize you can't get there on your own because of your own merits. Can't get there on your own because of you are a sinner. You realize Buddha and Muhammad and good deeds and baptism can't get you there. You realize your personal position and standing can't get you there. It's only through trusting in him and you repent before him and ask him to save you. It's not complicated. It's not supposed to be complicated. All these religions, they try to add intellectualism into it, and it's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to be simple enough even a child can understand and believe. Aren't you thinking? I got saved when I was a child because I was young and I didn't understand, but I could understand what Jesus was doing here. It's supposed to be simple enough for a child to understand. Samuel, just a few weeks ago, I think most of you know this, he got that settled. And I thank God for that. A five-year-old little boy, kindergarten, can't hardly read, but he came to us knowing that he is a sinner, knowing that his sin was going to send him to hell, and he did not want to die and go to hell. So he prayed and told God he was sorry for his sin, and he asked Jesus to save him. We try to add our intellect into it. We try to make it much more than it, more complicated than it actually is. We try to get all our words right and say all the right things, but the fact of the matter is it's simple. It's not supposed to be complicated. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Those that don't believe are condemned. It's simple. Have you been saved this morning? If so, you're not condemned. Amen for that. You don't need a priest to sign off on it. You don't need a high priest in the temple to offer a sacrifice for you. You don't have to throw some change in the Buddha belly at the Chinese restaurant to get there. You believe, you're not condemned. Do you believe this morning? I think we got that covered. There's another side to this thing. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? What does that mean? Does that mean his judgment's already passed? No. What does that mean? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It makes it very plain who we are to be believing in, not just the Son, not just a Son, the only begotten Son of God, the King James Bible says. is condemned already, it says. What does that mean? Does that mean they already passed their judgment? No. It means that we're all born sinners, and therefore, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're born into sin. We talked about that in Sunday school. We're all sinners. We know that. So therefore, we're all headed for condemnation. We're born into sin, born that way, born headed for hell because we are sinners. Few days and full of trouble. You don't believe it? Look at my daughter over there. Few days and full of trouble. And don't get me wrong. I believe there's an age of accountability. A little heavy over there. She may be a demon sometimes, but I don't think she understands all this stuff yet. Doesn't understand her need for a Savior. I believe that. Some that come sooner, some later. But we're born into sin, and we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. So we're all condemned already, all headed for hell. Those that believe on him, the condemnation is stripped away. The punishment for that sin is gone. Our debt is paid. We accept the free pardon of sin. We don't have to pay for it. That's how that works. It's paid for us. Our ticket has been paid for us if you'll believe. Otherwise, if you don't believe, or even worse, if you reject the gospel, reject the Holy Spirit, blaspheme the Holy Spirit, talked about that some last week too, then you are condemned. We're all condemned. If you don't believe, you're still condemned. If you do believe, that condemnation is wiped away for you. It's like a disease. Disease that we're all born into. We're all infected. So those that believe took the injection for the cure. Nothing to do with injections of today. Don't get that wrong. Those that refuse the injection will suffer the consequences of the disease. Jesus Christ is the remedy. He's the cure. He's the cure for sin and sickness. I saw somebody wrote down this morning. A lot of people want a fix. They go to church to get a fix. Jesus is not a fix. Jesus is the cure. It'll change you. It's not a weekly fix. It's a cure. Verse 19 expounds more on this thing of condemnation. It's more than just being a sinner. It's loving sin more than you love Jesus. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light came to the world. Jesus came to the world. Remember, he is the light. Chapter 1, verse number 7. That same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ came into the world, and all men love darkness rather than Jesus because their deeds were evil rather than light. That's still very true today. Their deeds are still evil today. The world does not want the light. They don't love the light. They don't want anything to do with the light. And most of the world today, they don't want to hear the name Jesus. Most of that's not popular today. Why is that? Because the light points out their flaws. If you're dwelling in darkness, you can hide a lot of problems. Once you turn the light on, the problems begin to shine. You begin to see the problems. Don't ever go buy a used car at nighttime. Why? Because you can hide a lot of problems, hide a lot of leaks and different things. Don't buy cars at night. When the light is out, things begin to be a whole lot more obvious. Sins get pointed out a whole lot easier. You can hide your sins while you're living in darkness, living in the world, acting like the world. When you begin to get around the light and hang around light, you begin to get around the church and the church folks. You begin to see some differences. All our flesh doesn't like that. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Salt burns the flesh if it gets inside of it. Men love darkness rather than light. Look at King Herod. Light came into the world, and he tried to kill it. Yes, he heard of Jesus' birth, and he sent out a decree to kill him. He wanted to put the light out. King Herod was one of the most wicked kings to ever live. He loved darkness rather than light. His pride, he refused to fall to the Son of God. And men in our natural state, we're the same way. But thanks be to God, he that believeth on him is not condemned. You just have to believe on him. And I'm glad in heaven we still have legal immigration. It also has walls. That's a different subject for a different day. Who does Jesus condemn? Those that don't believe. Why did Jesus come? To offer salvation, offer an alternative to condemnation. Who does he condemn? Those that don't believe. You're already condemned. We see what Jesus contrasts. He gives two options here in verses 20 and 21. Two different types of people, two different types of lives. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. We have a contrast here. One person that loathes the light in verse 20, hate it. One person that loves the light in verse 21. Those that loathe the light. I've already spoiled this point here. Those that do evil hate the light. Very simple. Wicked men don't rob and steal and murder normally in the daytime. They do it at nighttime. They love the darkness. They do it to hide themselves. Same way with sinners. You do it to hide. You stay in the dark. Stay in the world to hide your sin. Same way with men love sin. Our flesh naturally loves sin. That's why we're condemned. We are of the world. We have a sinful nature. It's not natural for us to want to come to the light. That's why we're convicted of our sins. That's why the Holy Ghost convicts us of our sins and through the gospel. And begin to see our wrongdoings. see how wicked we really are. A man does not naturally want to come to the light. It takes the Holy Ghost, it takes conviction, it takes the gospel. And some accept it and believe, and then others reject it, and they continue to loathe the light, and they are condemned. So those that loathe the light, it's those that love the light. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This other man, one who loves the light, he that doeth truth, truth being the opposite of error and evil. Very simple. His saved man ought to do truth, ought to follow the truth, ought to act on truth. What truth do we have? The very word of God is truth. We ought to act according to it. The lost man believes that God will not punish his sin, or he doesn't believe there is a God, or he doesn't believe that there's a heaven and hell, whatever his confusion is, whatever his stance is. The Christian believes all these things and acts as if they are the truth, because they are. He doeth truth. That man's going to come to the light. He loves the truth so much, he's going to come looking for more. He's going to long to learn from the Word of God. He's going to search out and look for truth in the Word of God. He's going to pray and read and try to find the truth. It says his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He wants to know the truth so it is obvious that his deeds are in the will of God. He's doing what God wants him to do, wrought in God. He just wants to be right before God. If you're saved today, you won't mind hearing God's word preached. Don't get me wrong, you'll be still be convicted from time to time, at least I am when I'm studying it, but you won't mind hearing it. You'll want the truth. You'll long to know what the word of God has to say. You want to know what the truth is. If your heart is right, you want to hear the word of God preached, whether your flesh likes it or not. Here you go. Light versus darkness. Man that's saved, man that believes, is going to love the light. Those that don't, they're going to love the darkness, and they will be condemned. I know this message is simple this morning. I feel like it's what God would have me to preach here. Do you believe or not? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust him for salvation or not? How long are you going to try to stretch this thing out? Lord, I've been preaching this gospel over and over and over again. How long are you going to stretch this thing? Are you going to believe or are you not going to believe? Has the Holy Spirit been dealing with you? Are you going to believe or are you not? 1 Kings 18:21 says, and Elijah came into all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long halt ye between two opinions, church? Words allowed me and led me to preach on the same basic topic, the gospel. I believe that's all I've preached on. It pretty much is. Why is that? Because that's the way the Lord has been leading me. It's obvious in this book of John. It's over and over again. Why is the Lord doing this? Who is the Lord speaking to this morning? What are you going to do about it? This morning I want to ask you, how long halt you between two opinions? Do you believe it or not? Has the Lord had me preaching this over and over again to get to you? Why are we doing this? Is the Holy Spirit working on your heart this morning? Is this for somebody here this morning? Have I completely missed it? Is there a young man or young lady or middle-aged or old? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Is there someone here that God's dealing with this morning? Yes or no? Believe or don't believe? Condemnation or no condemnation? Why don't you get it settled already? You see the options here, not a very big menu. Either you believe it and have your sins completely washed away, or you don't believe it and you continue down your path of condemnation because that's where you're headed. What is it today? Are you the reason the Lord's had me preach this over and over again? You say, oh, Lord wouldn't do that just for me. He sent his only begotten son all the way to earth to live and bleed and die and suffer and then rise again for you. You don't think he can change my mind for you? Do you believe this morning? Or are you facing certain condemnation? You have your opportunity. Verse 17, for God sent us unto the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You believe or not? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Everybody looking around. I know I probably made a mess of it this morning. There's no accident. Lord had us hear this past prescription. No accident. Lord had us, me and Brother Dale, lined up on the same thing this morning. There is judgment. We are facing judgment without him. Without him, you are already condemned. There's no accident. Is the Lord dealing with you this morning? It's been at least 3 or 4 Sundays in a row I've asked you the same exact question. If you died right now, do you know for sure where you would go? If you don't know that, Why don't you get it settled today? Quit stretching this thing out. Young man, young lady, do you have that settled today? If you died right now, do you know where you'd go? You say, well, I'm too young. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you're not too young. If you understand you need salvation, you're not too young. You say, I'll worry about that when I get older, when I get out of school or different things. Quit stretching this thing out. I asked you last week, don't miss your opportunity. Do you believe or not? Yes or no? Is anyone here this morning? I see that hand. Why don't you get it settled this morning? Just come to the altar this morning and get this thing settled. We're not promised another breath, not promised another day. It's time you get it settled. Just gonna play one more verse and we'll be done. Don't leave this place today without getting it settled. Come to me after service. Come to me anytime. Come to my wife. Try our best to show you in the Word of God what it has to say about salvation. You get it settled today. Lord, thank you this day. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for us to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you use it here. Despite my stumbling, Lord, I pray you use your word. And I pray you reach somebody here this morning. Lord, I pray for their own conviction. Lord, I pray they wouldn't go away. Lord, I pray they wouldn't get distracted from it. And Lord, I pray you work on hearts here in Jesus' name.